Welcome back to A-E-I-O-U, a podcast about Austria. This is Thames Darwin. When last we left the Duchy of Austria, the Bohemian King Ottokar II was the undisputed ruler. But a rival was emerging in the person of Count Rudolf of Habsburg. Let's start this episode by defining a term, interregnum. According to Oxford, an interregnum is a period when normal government is suspended, especially between successive reigns or regimes. The period following the death of Frederick the Quarrelsome, he who waged war with Bavaria, Bohemia, Hungary, and the Mongols, is often referred to as an interregnum because it was unclear who was the duke. However, this Austrian interregnum occurred within the larger context of what is called the Great Interregnum. I do not intend here to explain the whole Great Interregnum. You can get an excellent rendition of its events on the podcast on Germany. That said, I do need to include those factors that affected Austria. 4 years after Frederick the Quarrelsome died, Emperor Frederick II also died, leaving the throne in a dispute between his son Conrad and Count William II of Holland. We're going to jump ahead to 1272, when Richard of Cornwall, the son of England's King John, died. He was at that point King of the Germans, which is the title held by the person who has been elected by the electors of the Holy Roman Empire, but who has not been confirmed or crowned by the Pope. There were other claimants during Richard's reign, but he had the broadest support. With his death, it was time to elect a new emperor. The two leading candidates were two men we've heard of before, Ottokar of Bohemia and Rudolf of Habsburg. The candidate who won the election was Rudolf, but Ottokar refused to acknowledge the outcome. This might sound vaguely familiar to American listeners. In response, Rudolf, now wielding imperial power, stripped Ottokar of his territory in Austria. Ottokar resisted but ultimately caved and ceded Austria formally in 1276. 2 years later, Ottokar attempted one final time to obtain his lost lands again, but he was killed in combat at the Battle of the Marchfeld on August 26, 1278. Rudolf put Ottokar's body on display in Vienna to make it clear to everyone who the new ruler of Austria was. Thus begins Habsburg rule in Austria. It will continue until 1918. As a side note, the Great Interregnum at the imperial level would continue. While Rudolf would be king of the Germans, as would his son Albert and Count Adolf of Nassau, none of the three men would become emperor. That distinction would fall on Henry of Luxembourg, who would rule as Emperor Henry VII. Let's take a pause for a moment. I said at the beginning of the last episode that I didn't want the podcast to be long lists of rulers that becomes impossible to keep track of. With the advent of Habsburg rule in Austria, that danger becomes far, far greater because Rudolf will divide Austria among his heirs. Between 1379 and 1490, Austria will be ruled in parts including Lower Austria, Inner Austria, and Further Austria, as well as Tyrol. I'll be explaining what these places were as Austria acquires them. For now, the important one is Further Austria. This term refers to the Habsburg family's property to the west of Austria proper. The two biggest chunks of land are in Swabia, where the Habsburg family was from, and what today is the Austrian state of Vorarlberg. Regarding the sheer number of Habsburgs who will rule multiple parts of Austria until 1490, it's hard to figure out how to cover this period here. Stephen Beller, in his Concise History of Austria, covers all but 50 years of this period in a mere 10 pages, one of which is a map. He really means it when he says concise. Beller notes that the early Habsburg period was marked by the newly empowered family attempting to bring the other prominent German monarchs to heel. They responded by electing the aforementioned Henry of Luxembourg. One of the longer-lasting effects of early Habsburg rule had its origin in the weakening of their control in Further Austria as a result of moving their seat of power to Vienna. Some of the farthest-flung Habsburg territories viewed the rise of the Habsburgs with alarm. In response, several territories banded together into what they dubbed the Everlasting League. Soon they had come up with a new name, Corpus Helveticum, that is, the Swiss Confederacy. The Habsburgs attempted to assert their power, but the fledgling Swiss nation was victorious. Until the rise of Napoleon, Switzerland would maintain its independence. In 1336, Austria was ruled by the brothers Albert II, called the Wise or the Lame, depending, I guess, on whom you asked, and his brother Otto the Merry. These co-rulers are important to Austrian history because of their addition to the Habsburg possessions of two new territories, Carinthia and Carniola. The Duchy of Carinthia was given to the Habsburgs by Emperor Louis the Bavarian. With it came a small part of the South Tyrol. Both territories would remain part of Austria until World War I. Austria lost the South Tyrol to Italy in the war. It retains Carinthia today. The Margraviate of Carniola, to the southeast of Carinthia, is today roughly the same as the former Yugoslavian Republic of Slovenia. Duke Rudolf IV, called the founder, is famous for, among other things, establishing the University of Vienna in 1365. According to Beller, this was done mainly in response to the founding of a university in Prague by the Bohemians. but Rudolf IV is most famous for the Privilegium Maius. Some background is necessary. A couple years earlier, Emperor Charles IV issued a golden bull declaring four monarchs within the Holy Roman Empire as electors of the emperor: the Count Palatine of the Rhine, the Duke of Saxony-Wittenberg, the Margrave of Brandenburg, and worst for the Habsburgs, the King of Bohemia. Also made electors were the Archbishops of Mainz, Cologne, and Trier. Rudolf was incensed. His response was the Privilegium Maius. This document established several key changes for Austria. First, it elevated Austria from a duchy to an archduchy. It also established primogeniture for the Austrian monarchy, at least for male heirs. Finally, and most importantly, it established independent jurisdiction for Austria, meaning that conflicts ruled on by the Archduke could not be appealed to the emperor. This was a major challenge to imperial authority. The only problem with the Privilegium was that it was a forgery. The emperor refused to acknowledge it. He had one of his advisors, the Italian scholar and poet Petrarch, most famous for the sonnet, prove it was forged. Only in 1453 was the document acknowledged and put into force by Emperor Frederick III. Can you guess what family Frederick came from? While Rudolf the founder lost with his angle to get an archduchy, he nevertheless expanded the Habsburg territories, acquiring the county of Tyrol. This annexation, Beller tells us, secured for Austria all roads between Italy and Germany. Thus were there Lower Austria, present-day Lower and Upper Austria, Upper Austria, that is, Tyrol and the original Habsburg lands, and Inner Austria, that is, Carniola, Carinthia, Styria, and territories along the Adriatic Sea. Beller tells us that divided rule of the Habsburg Empire was messy and even resulted at least once in civil war. Stability returned with the reign of Duke Albert V, called the Magnanimous. In addition to ruling Austria, he inherited both Bohemia and Hungary upon the death of the Holy Roman Emperor Sigismund as a reward for his loyalty. Where Beller ends his account, in 1439, Austria is facing another threat. This time, it's the Ottoman Empire, which is seeking to expand further into Europe. He also intimates another problem on the horizon related to the Hussite Wars. The Hussites were followers of the Bohemian religious reformer Jan Hus. Although Hus had been executed for heresy in 1415, his followers had grown in number. War raged between them and the combined forces of the Vatican and the Empire until 1434, when moderate Hussites joined the Pope and Emperor against the more radical faction, ensuring the latter's defeat. Clearly, Beller is thinking of the challenge to be posed to the Habsburgs by Martin Luther. But that challenge is nearly a century in the future. The latter part of the reign of Albert the Magnanimous concerned securing his legacy and that of the Habsburgs. He was elected King of Germany in 1438 but died before he could be crowned emperor, falling in battle against the Ottomans. A final point about Albert the Magnanimous. He coined the phrase that is the title of this podcast. Another Habsburg was elected King of the Germans next. This was Frederick, who was Duke of Inner Austria. He and Albert were distant cousins, both descended from Albert II, the wise or the lame, depending on whom you ask. Frederick spent a decade as King of the Germans because of disorder in the Vatican, including rival factions electing their own popes for certain periods. When, finally, Frederick was crowned by Pope Nicholas V, the crowns of Austria and the Holy Roman Empire were joined. With the exception of 3 years in the 1740s, during which a member of the House of Wittelsbach would serve as emperor, the Holy Roman Emperor was a Habsburg until the dissolution of the empire in 1806, and even the Wittelsbach Emperor was a Habsburg son-in-law. Among the perks Frederick got as emperor was officially making Austria an archduchy. But as the first archduke, he was pretty shabby overall, despite adding significantly to the Habsburgs' possessions. As the sitting Holy Roman Emperor, he failed to react commensurately to the Ottoman conquest of Constantinople in 1453. As a result, he made an enemy of a man named Matthias Corvinus. The year the Turks conquered the Eastern Roman Empire, Corvinus was a Hungarian challenger to the then King of Hungary, Ladislaus the Posthumus. His Slavic name notwithstanding, Ladislaus was a Habsburg, specifically the nephew of Emperor Frederick. He was dubbed Posthumus for being born after the death of his father, Duke Albert V. Albert had bequeathed Lower Austria to his son, as well as Hungary. But the Hungarians refused to accept Ladislaus and instead attempted to recruit King Vladislaus of Poland to be their king. The subsequent civil war was long and costly. A key moment during that war was a decision by the Ottoman Sultan to invade. Ladislaus fled, leaving the Hungarians to defend Belgrade, now the capital of Serbia, without him. They were victorious largely as the result of John Corvinus, father of Matthias. However, John soon after died due to an outbreak of plague in his camp. Fearing a rebellion, Ladislaus arrested Matthias and his brother, eventually executing the brother. That act actually caused the rebellion. Once again, Ladislaus fled, and Matthias was declared king by the Hungarian nobility. Corvinus would remain a thorn in Emperor Frederick's side until the Hungarian died, 3 years before the emperor. During that time, the men would go to war twice. In the latter case, Corvinus actually managed to occupy Vienna and cause Frederick to flee. Corvinus led Hungary from Vienna for the last 5 years of his life. After his death, the King of Bohemia was made King of Hungary as well, and the capital returned to Hungary. Supporters of Corvinus's brother John, however, refused to accept the Bohemian king, and civil war broke out. Fearing loss of Habsburg power, Emperor Frederick had acted to secure the succession to the imperial throne for his son, Maximilian. Convening the electors, Frederick asked them to elect his successor, and they unanimously chose Maximilian, who would serve as King of the Germans. Maximilian subsequently took advantage of the civil war to take Vienna and other Austrian possessions back for the Habsburgs. Frederick died in 1493. His reign lasting 53 years, the longest in the history of the Holy Roman Empire. Maximilian succeeded his father immediately as Archduke of Austria. In doing so, he added even more land to the Habsburg possessions. Years earlier, upon marrying Mary of Burgundy, the daughter of King Charles the Bold, Maximilian had become co-regent with Mary. His children, who were Habsburgs, would therefore inherit Burgundy, as well as Austria and the other Habsburg lands. In addition to territory in France, Burgundy included land that today constitutes the Netherlands and Belgium. Maximilian's rule over the HRE was truly consequential, with many wars fought and substantial changes to how the empire was governed. But I want to focus here on Austria, so I'll allow other podcasts about Germany and the HRE to cover this material. Instead, I'll focus on two major results of Maximilian's rule. The first, already commented upon, is the growth of the Habsburg lands under his rule. In addition to reconquering Austrian land and adding Burgundy to the Habsburg possessions, thanks to his policy of diplomatic marriage, the Habsburg Empire would be the largest in the world within a generation. That story begins with Maximilian's son Philip, who married Joanna of Castile, the Mad Queen. The couple had 6 children who survived to adulthood, all of whom went on to take royal titles. In the same way that Maximilian's marriage to Mary had secured Burgundy for the Habsburgs, Philip's marriage to Joanna had done the same but with Spain. Philip died young, younger than 30. But when Joanna essentially resigned as queen in 1516, her son Charles became king of Spain. Spain had already begun to amass a large overseas empire in the Americas. Beginning in the early 16th century, the Habsburgs arguably controlled the largest collection of possessions anywhere in the world. But more on Charles later. In the meantime, suffice it to say here that Maximilian's rule over Austria provided the inspiration for the motto, Tu Felix Austria Nube. The phrase is Latin for you, Happy Austria, Merry. That line is cut from a longer couplet, translated by Christopher Hare as follows. Let others wage war, but thou, O happy Austria, marry, for those kingdoms which Mars gives to others, Venus gives to thee. The second major outcome of Maximilian's rule was the Protestant Reformation. Unlike many of his predecessors, Maximilian had a good relationship with the Vatican. War in Italy did not allow Maximilian to travel to Rome to be crowned Holy Roman Emperor after his father died. The coronation was delayed and delayed and delayed. Finally, once Maximilian had been king of the Germans for 15 years, Pope Julius II allowed Maximilian to declare himself emperor. Therefore, Maximilian was emperor when, on Halloween in 1517, a professor of Bible studies and Augustinian friar nailed to the door of a church in Wittenberg, in Saxony, his 95 Theses criticizing the Roman Catholic Church. That man, Martin Luther, changed the world, but he would have to get past Maximilian's son Charles to do that. We'll pick up there in the next episode. Thanks for listening.